We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Is faithful. You may be seated. We all want to win, but sometimes the game gets away from us. You hear coaches say that. Coaches of sports teams, we all want to win, but sometimes the game gets away from us. When you find yourself down in the fourth quarter, you need a special play called a game changer. Yesterday, our Cowboys had a game changer. They were down in the second half, and they handed that ball to Zeke, and he ran for 40 yards. It felt like we could not run at all on the Seattle Seahawks. It felt like we could not gain another, get in the red zone, or once we got to the red zone, we're going to lose. But somehow, we had a game-changing play, and it changed the whole momentum of the game. It changed the whole spirit and attitude of everyone playing the game. When he scampered up that sideline for 40 yards, putting us on their side of the field, it was suddenly like this feeling for the Dallas Cowboys that we can't be stopped. And they went on and they scored. A game changer is a play that changes the momentum and ultimately the outcome of a game. Have you ever seen a game changer in the sports world? Have you ever felt a game changer in your own life? I would tell you that in 2019, I think we could use a game changer kind of play in our life. Do you think so? For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some game changer plays. What is required for a game changer? Is it money? Is it power? Is it intellect? Is it beauty? Is it Instagram likes and shares? What is it? No, all that is required is a good play from the playbook. Church, where's your playbook? Do you know where your playbook is? Your playbook is the Word of God. It's the Bible. I believe that the game-changing play you need in 2019 was already written down thousands of years ago inside the Bible. Now, with that said, I understand that people watch this. People come to church that don't necessarily believe the Bible is the Word of God yet. I'm so thankful for you tuning in. I don't want you to turn us off. I want to challenge you today to take a listen at what we're going to say today, because when we share this game-changing play, you're gonna say, yeah, that is right. And I'm hoping that when you find out that this game-changing play from the Bible is so true, that you'll go check out the Bible yourself, okay? Deal? Everybody listening, watching online, anybody in the room not yet in faith, I challenge you to give us a listen today. Don't turn us off yet. Here are some game changers in the real world that used a similar plan to change the world. It's one thing, I could just throw out a bunch of Bible names, right? Let's throw out some names that you would read about in the newspaper. Here's some examples. J.J. Watt and LeBron James. Raise your hand if you know either of these guys. All right, some of y'all do. All right. J.J. Watt is one of the greatest defensive ends to ever play football. He looks like he was built for it in a laboratory somewhere. He has won way too many defensive awards to tell you about during his 7-year career with the Houston Texans. Yet, what J.J. Watt may be most known for is his reaction to Hurricane Harvey. Raise your hand if you know about his reaction to Hurricane Harvey. Last year, J.J. Watt started a foundation that raised $41.6 million in less than a year for those affected by Hurricane Harvey. It was amazing how he reached out to his community. And LeBron James, where's Jeff at? Jeff, that one's for you. LeBron James, pictured here, being scored on by number 41 of your Dallas Mavericks, Dirk Nowitzki, in the 2011 NBA Finals that brought a championship to Dallas. There he is. He's pictured. That's LeBron James. All right. Sorry, you're the only Maverick fan in the house. I really thought that'd bring us up there. LeBron James is one of the most recognizable figures on earth right now, not just in sports, but in any area, avenue of culture. LeBron James is one of the most known figures, currently a forward for the Los Angeles Lakers, giving time for booze. All right. King James has won three NBA championships and many other league awards. Yet, LeBron's greatest contribution may be the school he started last year in Akron, Ohio. It is called the I Promise School. And this multi-million-dollar school will help generations of at-risk youth and provide a way for them to go to college. He even provided bikes for everybody in the school and really amazing things like that. So the world is used to superstars. Isn't the world used to superstars? Yeah, absolutely. But this last year, the world stopped to appreciate these game-changing athletes who serve their communities through giving. These superstars are used to receiving awards, but what really is going to change the world is how they gave. You follow me? Next up, Tom's Shoes. Raise your hand if you know about Tom's Shoes. It's kind of a niche thing. It's like, yeah, if you know about Tom's Shoes, you might be a hipster. I'm just saying. I love you anyway, though. It's all right. Tom's is a for-profit shoe company. But even as I say for-profit, doesn't quite make sense because the company started in 2006, and from day one, from the very beginning, the company has served children in third world nations who do not have shoes. For every pair of shoes they sell, they give a pair of shoes away to a child in need. Now, this might not sound like a big deal. It is a huge deal because disease is rampant in third world nations, and a lot of that disease happens when somebody's walking around on bare feet and they get a cut. And so these shoes they mean everything. They mean a long life to someone. It's amazing. The company is known for making canvas shoes and for serving others. Now, the company that started with a very risky $500,000 investment is worth $500 million right now. Service is a game changer. Look, somebody say service is a game changer. Now, the world has seen shoe stores before, haven't they? But the world had never seen anything like Tom's. They were a for-profit that is known for its non-profit service. Next, Mother Teresa. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Mother Teresa, everybody. Great. A Christian lady. She is a nun who received worldwide recognition like the Nobel Peace Prize for her service to those in need. Mother Teresa was a game changer by serving. In the year 1952, she started a hospice house. This was a house for the poor and the terminally sick to be cared for. It is called Home for the Dying, and it still stands in Calcutta, India, one of the poorest regions of the world, with many people that are forgotten by their own nation. They go and they have a place to be cared for. She has opened up many other hospice homes. At the age of 18, with no formal education, because she was raised in a society that actually believed girls did not need one, at that age, she went to a church and she heard stories about missionaries in India. She heard about those in need in India, and she decided right then and right there at the age of 18 that she would do something with her life. She was going to help the people in India. She made that decision at the age of 18, just one moment at a church service. Can I just tell you, we're at one moment in a church service, and right now you could make a decision that changes your life forever. You can make a decision right now that changes the lives of countless people. She made that decision at the age of 18, and you know what? She did exactly what she decided at the age of 18. Service is a game changer. The world has seen religion before, absolutely, but the world stood and took note of a little small old lady who held the hands of dying people and loved them. A woman without a high school diploma now has so many high schools named after her. It's really funny. Look at somebody say, serving is a game changer. I want to give you a game changer play today. You want to change things in your life? You want a game changer? Here it is. Serve people. Serve people. Many people have used this game-changing plan in the secular world outside of church, outside of scripture, outside of Christianity. The play is used in business, it's used in government, it's used in countless organizations. You can find leadership and self-help books about this subject, but really, this is a kingdom idea. The idea of serving is a kingdom of God idea. LeBron and J.J. Watt use God's plan to change the world. Even if they don't give him credit for it, they're using God's plan. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus says this, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." The more you have been given, the more you should serve. I'm going to say that again. The more you have been given, the more you should serve. And Scripture gives us the idea that God is aware of what you have been given. Heaven is taking note on everything you have been given and is asking you to do more with it than just consume it on your own materialistic lusts. And so often we are not aware of what we have been given. You might be sitting in this place and go, "No, I've not been given very much." You are in the wealthiest nation on the planet. And what I find Americans maddening, because we will attack the 1% of our own nation, yell at the 1%, "Y'all need to give more." And we could talk about that, absolutely. But with wrath, talk about how as 1% people, they need to do more in society. When in the reality of it is that everyone in this nation is basically in the 1% of the entire world's population. So if we're yelling at the 1% of our nation to do something, guess what? We have to do something too, because we have been given so much. We've been given so much. That car you complain about, that job you complain about, that house you complain about, even that church you complain about, it's a gift from God. You've been given so much. Somebody say so much. LeBron James, J.J. Watt, changing the world with the kingdom of God idea. Tom Shoes didn't come up with their own plan to change lives. They've used God's kingdom plan. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. Shorten it for you here. Love the Lord. This is Jesus talking. Love the Lord with all. Just shorten it to that. Love the Lord with all. Say that. And love your neighbor as yourself. Say that. And love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Tom lives out this radical kingdom idea of loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Think about that for a second. Do you, sure, we love our neighbor, but to love your neighbor at the same level that you love yourself. They're literally doing that. They sell a shoe and they give a shoe away free. Yay, we were able to sell a shoe. Let's give a shoe away. Loving themselves, loving their neighbor. They receive, and give. They did not get this from a business school. In fact, they were passed over countless times for their business ideas. That is too risky. Who wants to invest in that? I want to tell you where they got this idea. They got this idea from Jesus. And Jesus says this, when you understand these greater commands of love, Mark chapter 12, verse 34, you are not far from the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus says. When you understand to love the Lord with all and to love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus, two verses, says to the person that understands that, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Mother Teresa, the small, unassuming woman with the quiet voice, she has stood before kings and government leaders. She's well known for her relationship with the Princess of England, Diana. And this is what Princess Di said after a visit with Mother Teresa. You listen to this quote. "Today, something very profound touched my life. I went to Mother Teresa's home and found the direction I've been searching for all these years. The sisters sang to me a deeply spiritual experience, and I soared to such heights in my spirit. The light shone within these ladies, saints for want of a better word, and such love came from their eyes, and their touch was full of warmth." I want you to get this picture that the life of a servant that didn't wear a crown, the life of a servant that chose to live amongst poverty, the life of a quiet servant who we don't know of any speeches that she gave, really. She's not known for that. That quiet life of a servant brought direction to the life of a princess. Here's what you need to know right here. The most successful people that you'll ever meet are still looking for direction. You listen to me. You listen to me. Because there's this concept in the church that, no, we need to just find the people that are desperate. Newsflash, everybody's desperate. The wealthy man on Wall Street is desperate. The man that's been elected to Washington is desperate. The nice house on the end of the street, they're desperate and they're looking for direction. Princess Di was looking for direction. Wake up. Your friends are waiting for you to bring them that warmth that Princess Di talked about. They're waiting for you to bring them that spiritual encounter that she spoke of. My goodness. The princess encountered God's spirit through the warmth and worship of a really big name evangelist. Person wore new suit every Sunday, right? No. Touched by the warmth and worship of a servant. Somebody say servant. Servant, such a beautiful word to a Christian. I want to tell you, this is not a how to win friends and influence people book idea. This is a God's kingdom idea, the idea of service. One more time, say serving is a game changer. Jesus tells us something radical about being great. Who here would like to be great? It's okay if you want to be great. You want to be great at something? You would like to be seen as great at your job, to be great in a skill, or to have a great accomplishment in your life? Raise your hand. It's all right. Yeah, if you don't want that, wake up. I want that for you. If I have to go over there and lift your hand, Linus, I'll do it. I want that for you. Mark chapter 10, verse 43. Our Jesus says this, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." And if you look at the context of this verse, we don't have time to go through all of it, but all the disciples were arguing over what? How to become great. Who's going to sit at your right hand, Lord? Who's going to be great in your kingdom? And he tells them, here's how you become great. Here's one thing Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say you could never be great. He tells them, here's how you be great. You become a servant. This is a radical kingdom idea. To become great, you become a servant. The way to go up in the eyes of others is to go down and serve in humility. Let's dig deeper into the scripture for a moment. I don't want to lose you, but I'm going to give you a Greek word, all right? The word here for servant is the Greek word diakonos, which is where we get the English word deacon. Very good. Somebody's been paying attention to preaching. I like it. Diakonos, that is where we get the word for deacon. The word deacon is a word used as a title of leadership within the church, right? A deacon is viewed as a person with authority in the church, right? So whatever your picture of that is, now put the word servant on that. I want to give you this idea. Take this home. In God's kingdom, authority is not given to lord over people. Authority is given to serve others. I'm going to say it one more time. In God's kingdom, authority is not given to lord over people. Authority is given to serve others. I don't have to explain to you what it feels like to be lorded over, right? Raise your hand if you've ever been lorded over. You felt that? Oh, yeah, it's such a wonderful, praise God experience. Authority is not given to lord over people. I need to show them who's boss. Here's my authority. You're going to do it this way. Everybody's had that boss that says, no, you're going to do it this way, even though it's not the best way. You're going to do it this way because the boss is on a power trip with their authority. Good Lord, we've been there. Now, I am a pastor. The word pastor, this is not a title that I should use to bully people into submission. Well, I'm your pastor. You better listen to your pastor, right? Now, I think you ought to listen to your pastor, but it should never be used as a bully point to lord over you. The word pastor is often translated in Scripture as the word shepherd. What is a shepherd? Well, he goes up. You know, shepherds go up and they preach sermons to all their sheep. That's what they do. Now, dearly beloved, we're gathered here. It's the lamb equivalent of an amen. No, they don't preach to them. They serve the sheep. They protect the sheep. When the sheep are in trouble, they try to corral the sheep away from the trouble. Jesus tells us this about a good shepherd, that he will do what? He will lay down his life for the sheep. We need to get this idea of authority in the true biblical context, that authority is not meant to lord over people. It is meant to serve people. It is not meant to stand up here and point the finger. It is meant to get down like our Jesus got down on the ground, drew in the dirt to protect the woman caught in the act. He reached down and touched the ground of the dirt and healed the blind man. We need that picture of Jesus. That is true authority. That is servanthood. Let's dig deeper. It is wrong to use authority to lord over people because there's only one Lord and we are not him. This is what's wrong with the government. We elect people to serve us and they end up being our lords. The bipartisan. That's what's wrong with the leadership structure at your job. Everyone's scared of the boss, but the boss is actually supposed to be there to help you, to serve you. Oh, Lord, the boss is here. Everybody look out. They're in a mood today, right? The quarterback is often the prima donna of the football team. Prima donna is a word. It means a very temperamental person with an inflated view of their own talent and importance. But a quarterback is really the servant of the offense. They receive the ball to give the ball to others. They pass. They hand off. And that is what gives them their most success. The quarterback is not the Lord of the football team. He said, get this picture real quick. The quarterback gets a play call from the sideline. He gets a play call from the coach. And the quarterback is entrusted with this knowledge, and he's entrusted with this opportunity of receiving the ball. By the way, this all comes from the coach. It doesn't come from the quarterback. It comes from the coach. Church, who's your coach? The Lord Jesus is our coach. He's the one who gives the plays. He's the one who gives the knowledge. He's the one who gives the authority. He's the one who pulls us aside and says, now you're doing this. You need to do this, all right? He's the one who does all that. It all comes from the coach. The quarterback then receives the ball, and a good quarterback sacrifices everything to get that ball into the hands of others. The authority the quarterback is given is meant to serve others on the team. Mark chapter 10, verse 43, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. Next verse. Verse 44, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. All right, now Jesus goes from using the word servant, diakonos, and he even uses a stronger word. There's some overlap to these two words, but this word is even stronger, right? in verse 44, the word we have translated as slave. The word in the Greek is doulos, where we get the idea of a bond servant. Okay? This is a servant by choice. This is a slave by choice. Everyone say by choice. This game-changing principle is radical. It's a servant so dedicated and devoted to another that they will neglect their own interests. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all by choice. You want to be first, you must be willing to neglect your own interests for others. You'll find greatness when you neglect your own pride. You'll find greatness when you neglect your own materialism. You'll find greatness when you don't put yourself first, but you put an idea first and you put others first. That's where greatness is. That is a kingdom idea. And who showed us better than Jesus? All of that. You know this already. You know this is true. You listen online, don't know the Bible's true yet. Listen, you know this is true. Because you'll follow any leader who's willing to sacrifice. You won't follow a leader who's not willing to sacrifice. You will respect others who are not just out for self-interest. You see self-interest a mile away. That's why you have trouble with church people. That's why you have trouble with pastors. You think that they're just dealing with their self-interest. That's what you think. Let me tell you, you respect others who are not just out for self-interest. And you'd have to agree what drew the princess to Mother Teresa was her servanthood love that she saw and she felt within her. And I tell you, what draws everyone to Jesus is that he is all of this and more. Jesus is the greatest of all because he is the servant of all. He is the doulos of all. He is the slave of all. He has willingly decided to lay down his life for us, for you, for everyone. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. This is the very next verse. This is the whole context. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what he did. You see, that's the one who came in authority. He came to lay it all down for us. Surely you'd agree with this. The best leader is the one who loves you. If you want to be great in 2019, you need to serve, because serving is a game changer. I've talked about serving others, but before we're done today, I'm going to challenge you to talk to God about serving others. We're going to do that. But for the next few moments, before we get to that moment, I want to talk to you about the best way to serve yourself. I want you to learn something. Here's how you serve. You serve from weakness to strength. You serve weakness from strength. Let me say that right. Let me get this right here. You serve weakness from what? From strength. Two paralyzed men can't help each other walk across the room, can they? But if one of the men had the strength to walk, they could serve the other paralyzed man's weakness from their strength. The man who walks could pick up and carry the one who is too weak to walk, because you serve weakness from strength. You serve weakness from strength. It is true when helping others, but it is also true when helping yourself. Somewhere in your life, there is weakness. Go ahead and raise your hand if that's true. Raise your hand. Somewhere in your life, everyone ought to raise their hand. Somewhere in your life, there is weakness, all right? You're probably all too aware of that weakness in your life. I don't have to tell you about it. But while you may have weakness in your life, there is also an area of strength in your life. There is. God has placed a strength somewhere in your life. And I don't care who you are, that is true. While there is a weakness in your life, there is also a strength in your life. Take a moment to recognize your strengths as well as you recognize your weaknesses. Too far, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we just tear ourselves down over our weaknesses, and we never take time to look in the mirror and see our strengths. Often, everything you need to overcome your weakness is already placed within you as a strength. Now, you stick with me. Often, the weakness you already need to overcome is already placed, the answer for that is already placed inside of you as a strength. I want to give you a concept called the golden triangle. Say golden triangle. Time, energy, money makes up a triangle. Time, energy, money. We have these three areas of our lives. If you are weak in any one of these three areas, you can leverage your strength in other areas to serve the area that you are weak in. For example, you're weak in the area of money. Somebody listen up. You're weak in the area of money? Well, let me ask you this. Do you have time? Oh, you do. Do you have energy? Oh, you do. If you leverage your time and your energy, you can make money. Take some time, spend some energy, and find a job, and you will get money. And if you're spending time and energy, but you still don't have enough money, spend a little more time, a little more energy. Maybe you get a second job for a while to make some more money, or maybe even find a better job, or perhaps this. You spend some more time, some more energy, your boss sees you as indispensable and gives you a promotion. You're leveraging areas of strength, areas that you do have a resource on, to help you in areas where you do not have the resource on. Time, energy, giving that to make money. You following me? You serve weakness from strength. Your strength in time and energy can serve your weakness in money. So wait, you're weak in the area of time? Well, do you have money? If you do, guess what? Spend your money to hire some energy to free up your time, right? You're weak in the area of energy? Well, leverage your work and your money to find a way to work smarter. Following me. You are, what this is you need to focus on what that weakness is and leverage your strength to answer your weaknesses. Now, you can go down to Barnes & Noble and find a book that talks about these very ideas, right? Okay? We are all weak in some area, but we are all strong in some area, and you can serve your weakness from your strength. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Perhaps we are begging God to help us, but God is waiting for us to wisely solve our weakness through the wisdom of self-managing the strengths he has given us. I'm telling you that you may have been praying amiss in this altar. You may have been asking things that God doesn't want for you. God, please snap your fingers and solve my weakness. And God's like, no, I've got something so much better for that for you. I want you to take the strengths that I have placed in you and you wisely self-manage them and solve them. Now, I know that's not exciting, but let me tell you, there is a better life on the other side of this idea. Ultimately, that is serving yourself. Now, when you talk about self-serving, that sounds like a terrible thing. But no, serving yourself is a great thing. You're supposed to serve yourself wisely. You're not supposed to. Sometimes we're so, in the church, so worried about self-serving that we go and disserve ourselves. You're not supposed to be a disservice to yourself. Now, I have a final point I'm going to get to, but I just want to underline this for you. That God has placed these strengths inside of you. You might have even been like attacking my golden triangle here. Like I threw it off on Sarah. Attack my golden triangle here. So she said like, well, what about the paralyzed man? I'm like, Stephen Hawking, baby. Stephen Hawking, I don't know if he had the money. He definitely didn't, you know, couldn't walk. But he had all the time in the world. And he read and he read and he thought. And he thought, and he studied, and he studied, and he wrote, and he wrote. And he's a game changer, Stephen Hawking. He didn't focus on his weakness. He leveraged his strengths. And I want to tell you this, that God has placed these strengths inside of you. I was last Sunday, a young boy in our church told me he opened up, and I'm not going to say who this person is out of respect to them, but I just have to share it with you. He said, Pastor, I was really convicted by something. I went to YouTube, and I was playing around on YouTube, and I went to my account settings, and it showed me the amount of hours I had spent on YouTube. And we're talking thousands, tens of thousands of hours. If I remember right, they said 30,000 hours. I might be wrong, but it sounds wrong now, but there are a lot of cat videos, right? And what this young man said to me, he said, you know what? If I need to think more about my time, I need to value my time more, because if I would have just taken that time and studied something, if I would have just taken that time and worked just a part-time job with that, what minimum wage times 30,000, maybe I need to be thinking more about the strength of my time. I looked at him and said, guess what? The Lord's talked to you about this. That's the Lord talking to you. If that hit your heart, that's the Lord talking to you. You've got a whole year ahead of you right now. Use it. Use it. Think more about your time this year. Think more about your energy. Think more about your money and how to use all these strengths, all these resources. I'm about to invite you to, you game changers, to come talk to God, but here's this final part. You need to serve with reserve. Serve with reserve. This goes along with the idea that you serve weakness from strength. You don't serve weakness from weakness. If you're going to serve, you have to serve from a reserve. You can only serve from reserve, not a deficit. If you have a time deficit, then you can't serve anyone with your time. If you have a money deficit, you can't serve anybody with your money. If you have an energy deficit, then you can't serve anybody with your energy. Somebody say amen if it makes sense. Good, I'm glad I make sense. If you want to serve from these areas, you need to start creating a reserve in these areas. Are you with me? If you want to serve in these areas, and these are powerful things, we gave you those three examples, J.J. Watt, LeBron James, Tom's Shoes, and Mother Teresa, these areas. If you want to serve and have a world-changing aspect to this world and power in this world, then you've got to start creating a reserve in these areas. How did Mother Teresa create hospice homes in third world nations? She built into her life a reserve of time and energy. She said no to other things that would eat her reserve so that she could use her reserve to serve. Interesting thing. She only wrote a book when she was 73 years old. First time she wrote a book. Could she have written a book earlier? Yeah. Could she have made millions of dollars writing books? Absolutely. You know what? She never went on the Oprah show. She never went on talk shows. She never started movies. She was never on the Tonight Show. Why wasn't she? Because she said no to those things. It wasn't because they didn't ask her. She said no to those things because she needed to reserve her time and energy to serve. How did LeBron and Watt serve others so amazingly with their money? They built into their lives a reserve of money. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, real easy for a millionaire to build reserves in their money. Nice try. Scrooge McDuck, of course, has reserves. They are millionaires. But I tell you, the principle remains true. If they would have spent all their money on themselves and left nothing in reserve, then they would have no strength to serve others from their money. It doesn't matter how much money you have coming in. If you don't have if you aren't living a life that makes a reserve, yeah, dirty words like budget happen here. Dirty words like saying no to Starbucks come in here, right? If you don't say no to some things in spending, you'll never have a reserve to serve from. had Tom's Shoes donate one shoe for every shoe they sell. They built into their business a reserve of energy. They put the same amount of energy into a shoe that they sell as they do into the shoe that they give away. How can you do that? Well, from the very beginning, they reserved that energy to serve in that way. They said, this is what we're going to do. They started off as a special order situation that they can't take too many orders because we have to reserve our energy here. We've got to be able to, if we sell this many, we have to double it. So we have to be able to, we can't just make these shoes and not give these shoes away. They reserved their energy. Are you following me? The greatest game changer servants you will ever meet are people who have created reserve. I meet a lot of people that have a heart to serve, but they've never had the management to reserve. But the greatest game-changing people have the heart to serve and the wisdom to reserve. Follow me. They say no to going to the movies. Why do they? Pastor, are you preaching against movies? No. Not at all, but they've made a decision. They're saying no to these things so that they can say yes to other things. They leave. I've met people, the greatest servants I've ever met. They live meager lives so that they can serve at a kingdom level. They have to say no to some things so that they can say yes to others. They say no to the energy draining commitments so that they can say yes in serving with their energy in other areas. They say no to some commitments so that they have time to serve in reserve. I want to tell you, serving is a game changer. Now, Marshall, did we hand out note cards? Everybody, if you do not have a note card, you just raise your hand. We will get you a note card. Hopefully, you have a pen on you. If you don't have a pen, we'll help you too, okay? You just let us know. Can we ushers look around and make sure everybody's got stuff? I see a few people that don't. Are you interested in a game-changing play this year? Here it is. It's serving. It's straight from the Word of God. When you came in today, you're handed a note card and a pen. We're going to use them now. On one side of your note card, I want you to write what you feel compelled to say yes to in service. While I was talking, maybe it's been a dream of yours. Maybe it's something on your heart. What is it that you want to do to serve others? Write it down on that side of the note card. Maybe you write yes on that side of the note card. You're saying yes to this. Some of you, God is calling you to teach someone a Bible study. Say yes to that. Some of you, God's calling you to serve your church, maybe serve on a worship team or serve in a children's ministry. Say yes to that. Some of you, you're moved deeply by the missions and you want to give more. Say yes to that. Say yes to it. Put it down. Write it down. This year, I'm going to say yes to it. On the other side of your note card, I want you to turn that note card and I want you to write no. Because in order for you to say yes to the other side of the note card, there's going to be something that you've got to say no to. And I want you to figure out what that is. In order to serve, you're going to have a reserve. What's eating up your reserve? Say no to it. It could be just something as simple as, I'm going to spend less money eating out. I'm going to spend more time with my family, to spend more time at my with my family eating at home, and to save money to give to missions. It could be just that simple. But on one side of the card, you're saying yes. On the other side of the card, you're saying no. Podcast listeners, I want you to do this exercise too. Do it. Now, our team is going to come. They're going to lead in worship. And while you are considering all of this, while you're thinking about this, while you're finishing your card, I challenge you to come pray. I challenge you to bring this card. Don't leave it at the altar, but bring this card and pray over it. Pray over your yes. Pray over your no. Ask God, God, how do you want me to serve? Some of you have no idea what to put on yes. If that's you, why don't you come here and ask God, God, what do you want me to say yes to? Come, bring your yes to this altar today, right now. Come on, come on. Our team's going to be leading in worship. If you are in this place and you're needed in prayer, I invite you to come into the first 2 feet of this altar. You want somebody to pray with you. If you're worried about something, if you need a miracle, maybe you want direction in your life, come into the first 2 feet of this altar, and we are going to be glad to pray for you. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to close my eyes. When I open up my eyes, I want to see this altar filled with people ready to talk to God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everybody in this room, everybody listening, watching online. God, Lord, serving is a game changer. Lord, I want you to put in their heart the love for people. I want you to put in their heart the ability to serve. I want you to help them to live wise lives of self-management. God, I want you to speak to them. Lord, I want you to direct them on what to say yes to, and also direct them on what to say no to, God. Lord, we are called to do so much more. Lead us in it. Lord, show us the direction. Show us the way to go. Lord, let Redemption Church be a game-changing church. Let our families be game-changing families. Lord, let Plano, Texas, receive a world-changing gospel of Jesus this year. Lord, let it come from us, God. Lord, we pray it all in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, let's talk to God. Let's reach out to the Lord in this place. In Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.